Appendix P, Arctic and Extreme Cold Weather Considerations. This appendix provides information and guidance on operating in extreme cold weather conditions. Extreme cold can significantly slow material handling and maintenance activities by numbing exposed skin, such as the face and hands. Activities that normally require only minutes in temperate weather may require hours in extreme cold. Movement by foot or vehicle over snowy and icy surfaces is slower and poses a high risk of injury to personnel and damage to equipment. Sub-freezing temperatures result in freezing water in water tanks, water lines, and equipment exposed to snow and water penetration. Because water expands when frozen and metals and plastics become brittle in sub-zero temperatures, standing water in equipment may freeze and damage components in areas with close tolerances and no room to expand. Additionally, metals contract at lower temperatures and expand at higher temperatures. Consideration must be given to guard components and equipment against improper clearances that can lead to binding or excessive looseness when exposed to sub-freezing temperatures. In regards to fuel, there is always a presence of water to consider. Commanders and logisticians must make every effort to winterize vehicles and equipment with cold weather lubricants and antifreeze liquids. Equipment should be kept free of snow and water to prevent the effects of freezing water by keeping equipment running or placing impermeable covers on it when in storage or not in use. Material handling and storage personnel should be provided with suitable headgear and gloves to minimize the effects of severe cold weather. Note, although fuels do not completely freeze, they will be the same temperature as the air. To prevent frostbite, fuel handlers must always wear gloves designed for handling petroleum products when working with fuels. Personnel. One major problem facing units unfamiliar with cold weather operations is the soldiers' lack of adequate training in cold weather operations and maintenance. If troops presently stationed in temperate climates are to be expected to move to cold climates and perform their mission, cold weather training is of the utmost importance. A large portion of a soldier's time and energy in cold weather areas is expended in self-preservation. This naturally reduces the efficiency of personnel in the operation and maintenance of materiel. In addition to operating their equipment, soldiers must learn to live and work in extreme cold weather conditions. Personal protective equipment. At a minimum, fuel handlers should be properly equipped with the following items for extreme cold weather. Base layer. Lightweight or midweight polypropylene top and bottom. Contact gloves. Eye protection. POL gloves. Insulating layer. Shirt, cold weather. Black fleece or liner, cold weather, or both. Coat. Outer shell. Generation 2 Gore-Tex jacket or Generation 2 Gore-Tex trousers. Cold weather jacket, wind shirt. Extreme cold/wet weather jacket, hard shell. Extreme cold/wet weather trousers, hard shell. Additional items. Issued Gore-Tex gloves with liners. Issued wool socks with synthetic liner sock. Temperate boots, cold weather boots recommended. Balaclava and neck gaiter. Suspenders. Arctic necklace, lighter and lip balm worn around neck. Flame-resistant fuel handler's coverall. Note, contact gloves must be worn when working outdoors. POL gloves and iPro must be worn when working with fuel. Prevention of cold weather injuries. Supervisors are responsible for enforcing proper preventive measures in order to reduce the detrimental effects of cold weather on fuel handling military personnel and mission accomplishment. Preventive measures include, but are not limited to, the following. Clothes are to be appropriate and worn properly. Clothing must be kept dry, wet and damp clothes changed as soon as possible. Clothing is to be worn loose and in layers. Hands, fingers, and the head are to be covered and protected. All clothing must be clean and in good repair, no broken zippers or holes. Proper boots must be worn, ones that are not too tight and are dry. Socks must be clean and dry. An extra pair of socks must be carried. Wet or damp socks must be changed as soon as possible, and foot powder must be used on feet and in boots. Wipe dry the inside of vapor barrier boots at least once per day, or more often as feet sweat. Dry leather boots by stuffing with paper towels. Feet are to be washed daily if possible. Gaiters are to be worn to keep boots dry when necessary. Gloves or mittens are to be worn. Hands must be warmed under clothes before hands become numb. Skin contact with snow, fuel, or bare metal is to be avoided, and proper gloves are to be worn when handling fuel or bare metal. Gloves are to be waterproofed by treating them with waterproofing compounds. Face and ears are to be covered with a scarf, and an insulated cap with flaps over the ears or a balaclava is to be worn. Face and ears are to be warmed by covering them with warm hands. The face and ears must not be rubbed. Face camouflage is not to be used when the air temperature is below 32 degrees Fahrenheit. Sunscreen is to be worn when appropriate. Sunglasses are to be worn to prevent snow blindness. Note: frostbite is freezing of skin and is most prevalent in the fingers, toes, ears, and face. It occurs with exposure to below freezing temperatures, below 32 degrees Fahrenheit, and during direct contact with cold metal and supercold petroleum, fuel, oil, and lubricants, POL. As the wind chill temperature goes below minus 15, the risk of frostbite substantially increases. Both natural and man-made wind increase the risk of frostbite. Materiel. Operating materiel in temperatures down to 10 degrees Fahrenheit presents few problems. Conditions are similar to those experienced in the northern portion of the continental United States during the winter. From negative 10 degrees to negative 25 degrees Fahrenheit, operations become more difficult. At the warmer end of this range, lack of winterization will result in only a slight loss of operating efficiency. Proper training will prevent many failures of materiel, as well as injuries to operators. When temperatures drop below negative 25 degrees Fahrenheit, operations become increasingly difficult. At temperatures in the vicinity of negative 50 degrees Fahrenheit, the maximum efforts of well-trained personnel are required to perform even a simple task with completely winterized material. Non-acclimated troops will encounter difficulties at even the warmer temperatures above negative 10 degrees Fahrenheit. Cleaning and preparing materiel. Before operating vehicles, crews should review appropriate operators' manuals for cold weather operations. All operators' manuals include a section subtitled Operations Under Unusual Conditions, Cold. Additionally, operators must know other basic skills, such as working with tire chains and slave starting. Soldiers must maintain materiel in the best mechanical condition at all times to withstand the added difficulties and prevent failures in sub-zero operation. Commanders must place special emphasis on maintenance inspections. Soldiers must carefully service various components of materiel before, during, and after each operating period in accordance with the pertinent TM. They must promptly report all failures and repair them. Failure to give this extra service and maintenance will result in actual damage, lost time, unwarranted expense, and improper functioning. Placing materiel in proper mechanical condition requires time for necessary and careful disassembly, repair, cleaning, and reassembly. Low temperatures must be anticipated far enough in advance to permit completion of the conditioning before the onset of cold weather. Operators must be very cautious when using materiel that has been inactive for a long time. For example, if lubricants congealed in the various components, parts could fail. Refer to pertinent operator and unit maintenance TMs for operation, lubrication, PMCS, and maintenance under unusual conditions. Rubber. In addition to natural and synthetic rubber, there are hundreds of rubber substitutes. These synthetic rubbers look and usually react like natural rubber, although most of them do not attain a greater flexibility at high temperatures. However, as it is cooled, natural rubber will gradually stiffen, although it retains a large part of its elasticity until temperatures below negative 20 degrees Fahrenheit are reached. Special care should be observed with collapsible bags and hoses due to the behavior of rubber in Arctic conditions. Tires. Tires become rigid in cold, causing flat spots on portions that come in contact with the ground during shutdown periods. At severe cold temperatures, sidewalls become brittle and crack. Tires must be inflated to the appropriate pressure at cold temperatures. A tire inflated to 40 psi indoors will change to 25 psi when moved outside at negative 50 degrees Fahrenheit. This can result in tire slipping on the rim and ripping the valve stem off the tube. In general, tires should be inflated in the motor pool 10 psi over the normal pressure for winter operation. Aircraft tires become rigid in cold weather, causing flat spots on parts that come in contact with the ground. In severe cold temperatures, sidewalls become brittle and crack. every effort should be made to minimize the length of time that material constructed primarily from rubber and plastic is exposed to extreme cold temperatures. Rubber-covered cables. Extreme care must be taken in handling cables at low temperatures. If the rubber jackets become hard, the cables must be protected from shock loads and bending to prevent short circuits caused by breaks in the covering. If cables are to be bent, they must first be warmed. Neoprene jackets on cables become very brittle and break readily at low temperatures. For example, fuel hoses may crack when allowed to crystallize from cold weather exposure, or may break if bent when frozen. Below negative 20 degrees Fahrenheit, certain peculiarities are observed. When cooled gradually but continuously over a short time, the rubber will remain flexible until a temperature of approximately negative 60 degrees Fahrenheit is reached. Then it suddenly loses its elasticity and becomes very brittle. Furthermore, if the rubber is consistently kept at a temperature below negative 20 degrees Fahrenheit for a long time, even though it does not approach lower temperatures, an effect similar to crystallization occurs, causing it to become brittle. Metals. Metals become brittle in severe cold temperatures. Thus, parts cannot withstand the shock loads that they sustain at higher temperatures. For example, at negative 20 degrees Fahrenheit, certain steels can stand only 50% of the shock load they can stand at room temperatures. For a given change in temperature, various metals will expand or contract different amounts. These characteristics will especially affect bearings, in which the bearing and shaft are of different metals, parts of different type metals bolted together, and meshing gears of different metals. Special care should be taken in adjusting parts of this type for cold weather operations, especially when adjusting bearing clearances. Nozzles consist of metal and rubber, so considerations must be taken when connecting to aircraft. Materials expand and contract at different freezing temperatures. Therefore, attaining a seal when fueling can compromise the secure connection, which could lead to a fuel leak and consequently risk a spark from the rotary splash. Plastics. In general, plastics expand and contract much more than metal or glass. Any parts or materials made of plastic must be handled carefully. Many of the vehicular canvas covers have plastic windows, which become very brittle and in many cases break due to a combination of cold and vibration. Glass. Glass, porcelain, and other ceramics can be expected to perform normally at low temperatures, if handled carefully. Cracking may result if heat is applied directly to cold windshields or vehicle glass. Fabrics. Fabrics, in general, retain their flexibility even at extremely low temperatures, provided they are kept dry. However, tarpaulins present difficulties in conforming to their intended dimensions due to shrinkage. This is usually the result of wrinkles that are extremely difficult to smooth out at sub-zero temperatures. Whenever possible, tarpaulins should be unfolded in heated enclosures. Batteries. In cold weather, all batteries provide less power, so a greater quantity of batteries or more frequent charging of batteries is required. Cold weather batteries are recommended if available. Dry batteries must be stored at temperatures above 10 degrees Fahrenheit and must be warmed gradually, either with body or vehicle heat, before use. In sub-zero weather, additional battery chargers must be on hand to meet heavy requirements for battery maintenance. Battery stocks should be replenished often, paying particular attention to items with unique proprietary batteries. Also, personnel must avoid relying on service-specific items that require batteries not carried by the theater-level sustainment organization. Petroleum, oils, and lubricants. In the extreme cold weather environment, fuel is the single point of failure in the whole operation. If there is no fuel, simple work does not happen. Ground operation increases fuel consumption rates of individual vehicles by 30 to 40%, requiring more fuel filtering and distribution. Cold weather operations require increased testing, recirculation, equipment maintenance, and fuel usage due to extended equipment operation requirements. Draining of water from systems must be done when not operating equipment to prevent freezing of lines. Hoses and bags will become brittle when in extreme cold temperatures and can break and crack. Depending on the temperature, adding icing inhibitors to fuel may be necessary. Diesel fuel will reach its freezing point and begin to gel at around 15 degrees Fahrenheit, whereas jet fuel has a much lower freezing point of around negative 51 degrees Fahrenheit. Fuel additives are available to decrease the possibility of fuel gelling. For example, fuel system icing inhibitor in accordance with MIL Detail 85470. Although fuels do not completely freeze, they will be the same temperature as the air. To prevent frostbite, fuel handlers must always wear gloves designed for handling petroleum products when working with fuels. In steep sloped mountains, vehicle fuel consumption increases by 30 to 40%. As vehicles ascend, the amount of oxygen available is reduced and the engine efficiency drops. On average, vehicles lose 20 to 25% of their rated carrying capacity. However, overall fuel consumption for the unit decreases because of lower vehicle movement. Heavy reliance on aviation assets for resupply and movement increases aviation fuel requirements. Units that operate in cold weather need to plan for fuel use and storage. Fuel points supply units with refined or white gasoline produced for pressurized stoves. Special fuels may be needed for host nation equipment. Individuals carry special fuel for personal or squad stoves. NSN 7310-01-578-6413 uses diesel or jet propulsion fuel, type 8, cutting the need for multiple fuels. Some fuels may need additives to prevent freezing and gelling. In Arctic conditions, fuel spilled on flesh can cause instant frostbite if the proper gloves are not worn. Multi-viscosity oil, 15W40, is recommended for most vehicles in cold weather. Use of 15W40 prevents frequent oil changes in an environment with a great variance in temperature. Vehicles should be changed to multi-viscosity oil before embarkation. In sustained extreme cold conditions, 10W oil will be required. Cold weather mountain operations require Arctic engine oil, a synthetic SW20 lubricant used for temperatures down to negative 65 degrees Fahrenheit. Cold weather mountain operations require Arctic engine oil, a synthetic SW20 lubricant used for temperatures down to negative 65 degrees Fahrenheit. Arctic engine oil is approved for engines, power steering systems, hydraulic systems, and both manual and automatic transmissions. For weapon systems, lubricants specifically designed for Arctic weather should be used. When units are widely dispersed, they may be able to store only a limited quantity of fuel, which limits operations when circumstances prevent timely resupply. Increased quantities of lightweight, portable fuel storage containers may be needed. Up to twice the normal number of fuel cans may be required if transporting fuel to vehicles rather than bringing vehicles to the refueling point. Adequate quantities of 5-gallon cans, nozzles, and 1-quart fuel bottles must be available. When vehicles, generators, and petroleum, oils, and lubricants containers are brought into warm storage from the cold, fuel tanks and containers should be filled at least 3/4 full to prevent condensation. Fuel systems. For a satisfactory start, engine fuel must produce a combustible mixture with air. Atomization, which increases the rate of vaporization of the fuel to produce combustible mixtures, is adversely affected by low temperatures. Engines using commercial diesel fuels are particularly difficult to start in cold weather. Many fuels, such as DF2, contain waxes that congeal at temperatures below 0 degrees Fahrenheit, negative 18 degrees Celsius. If this occurs, the filter will clog and the fuel will not flow. Diesel fuel grade D1 is designed for use in cold regions. Military specified JP8 is the preferred fuel for all systems. As part of proper fuel system maintenance, drain fuel filters frequently and at the end of each day of operation. Do not assume that filters are dry if nothing flows from the drain cock. If water is present, it could have frozen solid overnight. Drain filters into an approved and appropriately marked and labeled container and turn in according to unit operating procedures for disposal. Condensation. Always keep fuel tanks filled to the proper markings. Refuel only to the expansion marking immediately after halting to reduce condensation in the fuel tank. The more fuel there is in the tank, the smaller the volume of air from which moisture can be condensed. Arctic fuels for gasoline or diesel engines are developed and selected to obtain the proper atomization necessary for a combustible fuel-air mixture. It is essential that pump units' tankers be provided with JP8 or appropriate cold weather grade fuel if other than JP8 use has been approved. Standard JP8 fuel has a minimum specification requirement of negative 52 degrees Fahrenheit, negative 47 degrees Celsius, which ensures gelling will usually not occur at extreme cold or even hazardous cold temperatures. antifreeze cooling systems. Ethylene glycol distilled water mixed solution is the most common antifreeze agent used for both military and commercial engines. It is used for temperatures of 32 degrees Fahrenheit, 0 degrees Celsius, down to negative 50 degrees Fahrenheit, negative 45.5 degrees Celsius. To use, mix with distilled water. Verify antifreeze capability to negative 50 degrees Fahrenheit, negative 45.5 degrees Celsius with a refractometer. Arctic Antifreeze Solution is an ethylene glycol-based antifreeze with several additives that are mostly used by the military. It is used for temperatures of negative 40 degrees Fahrenheit, negative 40 degrees Celsius, down to negative 90 degrees Fahrenheit, negative 68 degrees Celsius. To use, do not dilute. Use full strength as packaged. Do not add an antifreeze extender additive with Arctic Antifreeze. Propylene glycol distilled water mixed solution is only used by the military in commercial products under warranty, as prescribed by manufacturer's instructions. It is used for temperatures of 32 degrees Fahrenheit, 0 degrees Celsius, down to negative 76 degrees Fahrenheit, negative 60 degrees Celsius. Commercial items that are under warranty are to follow the manufacturer's recommendations until the warranty has expired. Do not use it in Army vehicles past the warranty period. When switching over to military standard automotive antifreeze, flush the cooling system to remove all the commercial antifreeze. Other equipment considerations in extreme cold. Operation under conditions of extreme cold may cause equipment problems due to loss of flexibility. Nozzle seals and coupling face seals are especially subject to damage. In negative 20 degrees Fahrenheit, fuel hoses may crack when allowed to crystallize from cold weather exposure, or may break if bent when frozen. If pump is stopped for long periods of time in below freezing conditions, remove 4 drain plugs and drain volume. Cover and shelter pump if possible. For filter separators operations below 32 degrees Fahrenheit, if a heated shelter cannot be provided, locate units so that natural barriers can be utilized to the fullest extent possible to prevent water in the filter separator from freezing. Prior to stopping unit, drain all water from vessel and valve until clear fuel is discharged from the drain valve. This will prevent water from freezing in vessel. Do this at each shutdown of operation. CI and SDA increase in viscosity at extreme cold temperatures, resulting in decreased additive injection. It may be necessary to recalibrate the CI and SDA injectors for cold weather operation. If the fuel additive injector is to be shut down longer than 72 hours at temperatures below 32 degrees Fahrenheit, fuel additives must be purged from the system. Warm additive, if possible, when it thickens.